So again, kind of taking a cue from a couple of days ago, I'd like to go back to this business of the humanization of Christianity. Michael Novak, before he got deconverted into a super capitalist, was a good theologian. And he said, the job is not to Christianize humanity, is to humanize Christianity. And again, it's what I tried to say the other day. Namely, we have so elevated, etherealized, I think is a good term, much of what we say we believe, that it is crucial, again, to ask the fundamental, but what's the basic human reality here? No? And this is especially true to Mary, because in regard to Mary, so today is the Feast of the Mother of God. Because she has been so glorified, so exalted, you know, and at the Second Vatican Council, there are a few bishops who wanted to say she's the neck of the mystical body, or she is the means through which all grace passes into the human race. And the excess is piled on top of excess. You know, oh, Mary, Madonna, you know. Well, what is it that makes Mary so special? I think that's a totally legitimate question, and it's not easily answerable, I don't think. So I was casting about, and I remembered a phrase coined by another great theologian, Martin Luther. And he talked about the human condition as homo in se incurvatus. Like all good academics, he spoke Latin and wrote Latin in those days. The human being is this animal curved in on itself. It's an interesting metaphor, and I believe it is a very accurate one. I mean, if we stand back and look, at least I do, look at my position in the world, I'm not particularly open to the world, or to other people, or to my own history, even. And the reason for that, I think, is pretty clear, because it's fearsome. I really do believe that the majority of human beings live life of quiet desperation, and that desperation is rooted in the same curvature. You know, it's where we're curled in on ourselves. We want to fend off everybody or fend off the future. And I think that's the genius of Mary, her receptivity. Except that's a somewhat misleading term as well. I mean, she's just saying, "Lay it on me, Lord." You know, here I am, ready. You know, as if it was a natural state of things. To be really receptive, to really be open, is an act of really ferocious willing, you know? I don't think we typically are open to each other. I think we really are afraid of ourselves, of each other, of the future. And the beauty of Mary is I think, precisely that openness, that readiness for the other to come into one's life. And of course, we want to say that the other, the primary Mary, the other for Mary, and we hope for ourselves, is God. Let God be God for us. And again, this stands athwart a whole lot of a terrible bad theology, religious. Namely, God is the great insurer of our safety. Again, the impulse is the same, you know, safety first, you know, self-protection first. And that means, this terrible self-enclosure, this terrible wariness of the unknown, whether in ourselves, in others, or in our histories. And Mary, we can assume, was different from us precisely in her readiness to hear the other. brother. Even the other came in fairly grim guise as she's standing beneath the son of the cross on which her son was being executed. In other words, it comes down to that, as the great poet Charles Peguy said, it comes down to the terribly difficult job of hope, of real hope. Hope means essential orientation to the other, essential connectedness to the other. It's all kind of possible to hope for oneself. You know, I hope that my stock portfolio grows, and I hope my kids don't get hooked on drugs, and I hope my dog don't get killed running across the street, or this other kind of stuff. But again, that's hope in a totally self-serving mode. Again, the curvature, the incurvatus. And Mary, however she brought it off, was able to withstand that impulse to close in on herself. The readiness is all. The readiness for the other is all. Be prepared to be surprised, happily or sometimes unhappily, by life, by God. That's her genius. That's what makes her significant. In other words, hope is essentially other-orientated. We tend to even reduce hope to a form of self-insurance. I think self-seeking, self-securing, safety first. Well, that's not hope. It is a kind of white-knuckled grip on life, where you're holding on for dear life because you're expecting the worst. And often enough the worst comes. But to be able to take that in, to not be crushed, to continue to stay open. Because I think this is, the older I get, the clearer it becomes to me that tendency to self-preservation does not diminish. If anything, it gets stronger and stronger, I think. And then, so that's the challenge of us ancients. It's the geriatric set, you know. Precisely to kind of give up that open stance toward life. But that's what makes her significant. It is a human reality we're talking about. We're not talking about angels running around prancing in their house and all this other stuff and angelic visitors and blah, 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 blah. All this stuff, all the stuff that we've embroidered around the figure, often enough obscuring who she was. She's a woman who presumably had a very hard life, and yet was not hardened by life. She still remained supple, open, ready.